ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a robust live studio audience. Wow. And with this new microphone cord that might have really done damage to your ears, I apologize. We are now with this beautiful new red cord. I am connecting straight to my newer computer, and therefore I think the sound is going to sound even better here on Monday Motivation. Please let me know. We have an exciting and interesting, fascinating and challenging podcast tonight, which you're listening to tomorrow. First of all, we would like to thank Jeremy and Katie Kaluzna for sponsoring this edition of Monday Motivation. And this is a segue not only to thank them, but to wish them Mazel Tov on their wedding in early September. And we are back in 2024. They are certainly Jeremy, long, decades plus long. And we are blessed that he has brought Katie to us. And we give them a blessing that they will build a Bayis Neman B'Yisrael, a faithful home among the Jewish people. Obviously faithful to themselves, faithful to the traditions and the people and the ancestors and the predecessors who have brought them to this day. And obviously faithful to the Almighty. So thank you for your love and your support. And thank you for sponsoring this edition of the podcast. Here we go. Next thing, Project 613 is rocking. So many things going on. Busiest January I remember in recorded history. We just finished a Shabbos in the Chud. Amazing. Tons of people came. We have launched the past week, 613 at 613, going through the mitzvos. There are 613 mitzvos, commandments in the Torah. And we are going to be analyzing one a week. It should be an absolutely fascinating series. And we had a packed house this past week. This coming week, some of our Project 613 people are on, Sam and Gideon, are on the YLD committee, the board, for learning. And they said, we got to get some YLD, which is the Young Leadership Division of the Jewish United Fund here in Chicago, to be learning more Torah. So they said, let's partner up with Project 613. So we're excited to welcome this week the YLD crew who is coming to learn Torah with us, to have dinner and learning on our Wednesday night program. So if you are in downtown Chicago, please join us this Wednesday. A fascinating program called Forever Family, we have named it, and we honor a fallen Israeli soldier or citizen and learn about an amazing character trait that they displayed in their lifetime. So not only is the learning in memory and merit for the one who was killed, but in addition, we take a positive character trait to be inspired by that person's life. So this week, we're going to be learning about Amit Tzur, who was an Ethiopian Jew and proud Israeli soldier who was killed on October 7th. And his midah, his character trait, was zrizus, or alacrity. Did things right away, did not wait. And finally, we have a Shabbos in the city this coming week. Just to tell you, our schedule takes a while. Thank God Project 613 is rocking, and I want to thank everyone out there for your support. Now, the podcast tonight is going to be about the Los Angeles fires. So there's really two distinct parts to this podcast. The first is what we would say and what we can do for the people who are suffering, and that is compassion, that is help, that is prayer. I always recommend giving to Jewish organizations who are helping the Jewish community, and it's easier to track that your dollars are really going to where it's needed in Chabad. God bless them. They have some wonderful sites up in terms of if people would like to make a donation. That is our response vis-a-vis the people who are suffering right now, who lost their home, some people their whole life savings and worth is in those homes. Who knows how hard they'll have to fight to get back the monetary value of it, if they'll ever get the monetary value back for it. And certainly the memories of the items are gone forever. So our approach vis-a-vis the people who are suffering is compassion, is a desire to help. And that should be our approach. That's part one of the podcast. Now, part two of the podcast is how do we, who are removed from the tragedy, how do we understand it? Okay, so everything we're going to say now is not what you tell someone who just had their house burnt down. Do we understand the difference? That we can hold this intellectual sophistication, that there's certain things that we at a distance can have a certain reflection and reflective quality about the situation that we would not tell people who are suffering at the moment. Okay, there you have it. So now we, sitting in Chicago or wherever we're sitting, what is our response? How do we understand this? So first of all, we're going to, no holds barred tonight. We're going straight. So buckle up your seatbelts. You know, I try to make money motivation, you know, nice and fluffy sometimes. But we're not holding back tonight because it's a serious event and we have to address it very seriously. So on Rosh Hashanah, this past Rosh Hashanah, ushering in the year 5785, back in September 2024, there was a prayer that we say both days in the davening called Unsana Tokef, and it's in the Musaf repetition. That's the additional prayer, the repetition, and it goes, and it's very dramatic, and the chazan, the one who leads the service, gets his whole payment for the year, okay, based on how well he does Unsana Tokef, and maybe Avinu Malkeinu as well, we'll see. But anyway, it says, B'Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, on Rosh Hashanah, it'll be written, Ubayom Tzom Kippur Yechasemun, and on Yom Tzom Kippur, on the day of the fasting of Kippur and Yom Kippur Yechasemun, it will be sealed. What's written and what's sealed? Kami Yavrun. How many will pass from the earth? How many will die? Vakama Yibareun. How many will be born? Mi Yechye Umi Yamus. Who is going to live and who is going to die? Mi bekitzo, umi belo bekitzo, and on that, who's going to die? It says some people in their time, some people not in their time. That is a very complex philosophical statement, not for right now. How can you not die in your time? That's for a different schmooze. Mi vamayim, who by water, umi ba'esh, and who by fire. Mi bacherev, who by sword, umi bachaya, by wild animal, umi barav, umi batzama, who in hunger and who in thirst, mi barash, noise, mi b'magefa, and in plague. This was before COVID as well. And it goes on and on and on and on. Who is going to have a difficult year? Who is going to have a peaceful year? And it finishes off ushuva and repentance, usvila and prayer and tzedakah and charity. Ma'avirin esroah gzera. They remove, they cause to pass over the evil decree. So our actions can avert a negative decree. That is a fundamental tenet of Torah and Jewish thought and practice and Jewish life. And so let's not mince any words. We can blame the government. We can blame there wasn't enough water. There wasn't, yes, and hopefully at the end we might even touch on that. We'll see if we have time. But let's make no bones about this. These tragic and devastating fires were decreed on last Rosh Hashanah and they were sealed on Yom Kippur. There are no mistakes in life. There are no flukes. And all, here's the controversial part. Are you ready? Everything that happens is good. It is good. It is good. It doesn't mean that it's sweet. It doesn't mean that it's pleasant. It doesn't mean that it's nice. It doesn't mean that it's enjoyable. In fact, there's an Israeli song that's sweeping the Jewish world right now that that basically is literally sung now at every soccer game in Israel. The Israeli soldiers are singing it. It's on the radio in Israel. It is constantly being played. It's called Od Yoter Tov. that it's getting better and better. The Jewish people, look how amazing we are. Literally having in 15 months of war after October 7th. And the song that's trending, that's going viral. You literally cannot go an hour without hearing the song. Od Yoter Tov, Od Yoter Tov. It's getting better and better and better. What are we, Meshuggah? Better and better? We have Israeli soldiers dying daily. We have the hostages still not back. How can we do this? How can we understand that it's better? And I want to tell you a fundamental idea of Torah, of Judaism, is that the difficulties that we experience in this world have a purpose. You have two pathways, people. Either the difficulties and the challenges of life have meaning and purpose, or they're totally random. They either have meaning and purpose, and we may not know why they're brought to us, or they're totally random and therefore they're meaningless. And Torah has always said, and Judaism has always said, that difficulties in this world have a purpose. They have a purpose of atonement, of cleansing of sins, of humility. How many people, when, God forbid, but when one's house is burnt down, how much humility is that? You don't even have any stuff. Where are you going to go? You know, someone is the king of their castle. And now they have nothing. They have nothing. There's a certain humility. I'm not casting aspersions. I'm not saying people in LA with these big fancy houses, I'm not ascribing blame. I'm not saying these people were all haughty and they needed some humility. I'm not saying that. I'm just describing some potential pathways of how we can understand that when God decrees this on Rosh Hashanah, that it ultimately leads to good. And these difficulties in life, in most time, if we look back in our own lives, when we've grown the most, it's not when things were going pleasantly. It's when things are difficult. And so therefore, that is the first message that I would like to get across, is that this was decreed on Rosh Hashanah, and it's painful, and it's difficult, and it's hard, but it's all good. Second point, this is now inward facing, not just looking at the people in Los Angeles. What do we have to learn from this? It's really a wake-up call for all of us. The Gemara in Yevamos, and the Tractate of Yevamos, which I'm learning, page 63a, says that all punishments that come to the world are for the sake of the Jewish people. Meaning, when there's a tsunami in Japan, it's a wake-up call. It's knocking closer. There's fires in LA. There's hurricanes in Florida. There's tornadoes in Arkansas. Whenever there's a natural disaster, a volcano, a hurricane, a tornado, fires, mudslides, floods, these are divine wake-up calls that we need to introspect. We can't just sit on our high chair and say, oh, the poor people in Japan got a tsunami, and go back to our tea and crumpet. Now, I don't know anyone who listens to this who has tea and crumpet, but that was the first food item that came to mind. But, our bagel and cream cheese. We can't be so callous to say, oh, there's a tsunami in Japan and there's hurricanes in Southeast Asia and it has nothing to do with us. The Torah says that when you hear of tragedy in the world, it's a call for us to repent. We have to be sensitive to the suffering of the world. We're the ones who taught the world about sensitivity to other people's suffering. And that's the depth of this Gemara, is that when there's tragedy around the world, it's a wake-up call for us, as if we have to imagine it, if it is happening to us. And therefore, we need to introspect how we can improve. Maybe there's a certain humility that we need to inculcate into our personalities. Okay, that's point number two. Now I want to go through briefly Eish in the Torah. Eish is fire. Eish is the Hebrew word for fire. And the first time that Eish comes, I believe, I looked this up, if this is not correct, please someone correct me, but is in Genesis 15:17, and it is when Avraham has a prophetic vision where it is called the Bris Ben Abisarim, the covenant between the parts, and there's animals that are split in two, and Avram walks through this, and there's there a fire, and a furnace there to ratify the covenant. That God is basically telling Abraham, you are going to be an eternal nation. You're going to live forever. And there to ratify it is fire. And the fire there has two meanings. One is to ratify this covenant that's going to be forever. That no matter what fire you're going to go through, Abraham, no matter what crematoria your people, your descendants are going to go through, I am here with you forever. You're an eternal nation. And so therefore the covenant was sealed with fire, a fire of positivity, a fire that Hashem guarantees. And that is the same fire that we see at Mount Sinai, that God appears to the Jewish people, giving us our entire direction in life with that fire at Mount Sinai. But it also means the fire to punish our enemies. And therefore, in the first mention of fire, it has both a positive connotation of potential and also one of punishment, which means Aish in and of itself can go both ways. I want to share with you a medrash, an unbelievable rabbinic statement about Adam. What happened was, is that Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve went into Shabbos, and it actually stayed light the entire Shabbos. Comes Motzei Shabbos, the first Saturday night, darkness descends, and Adam and Eve thought, because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that death would come into the world, and that was game over. And God taught Adam how to make fire, and he brightened and lit up the world. And we see there, that's by the way why we light Havdalah candles on Motzei Shabbos, and it has to be two, because each one on Friday night we light in two individual wicks, and then we combine them, which is symbolic of God and the Jewish people coming together. I just had to throw that in. And so, but Saturday night we light the Havdalah candle as a sign of the human effort to bring light to the world. And so therefore we see that fire has both a destructive capacity to destroy the evil people, but it also has a powerful, positive way to light up the world, to fire us up. And this is the point where I wanted to reach. The question is, when we see these fires raging in LA, it should cause us to pause, to think, what is the fire in our lives? What's the fire? What's the passion of our lives? Are we directing our passion in our life in a positive, productive, meaningful way, giving off light and heat to the world? Or are passions paving ways of destruction, burning things down, burning relationships, burning our control over ourselves, burning up relationships? That is what the fire symbolizes. And the question is, on this Monday, when you're doing Pilates, or when you're on the workout machine, or you're in the car, wherever you're listening to this, or if you're listening intently, blocking everything else out, because I know that's everyone does with Monday motivation, what's your fire? What's your fire? What's your passion in life? And how is that being expressed? Is it lighting the world up? Are you firing the world up? Or just the opposite, God forbid. Are we fired up for holiness? I don't want to take a moment. This may not be a surprise to anyone. What's my fire? I want to share this. What's my fire? My fire, you know what fires me up? What fires me up is that somewhere between 70 and 80% of the non-Orthodox Jewish world is going up in flames. They're going up in flames. And you don't need physical crematoria of Poland, of Auschwitz. There's something called the spiritual crematoria. In a box score, in a baseball game, that doesn't show how things happen. It just showed the bottom line. In Europe, we lost a third of our people. We lost a third of our people. But the box score of American Judaism is we're losing 70 to 80% of our people. It's more than double what we lost in Europe. And are we fired up about it? I'm fired up about it. I'd love for you to be fired up about it as well. And many of you are, and many of you support Project 613 because we're your representatives to fight this fight. But that's not enough. That is not enough. because we need every single Jew fighting on the front lines to put out the fire of assimilation. And maybe there's a talk that you can have with a relative of yours that's dating a non-Jew and say, you know what? We love non-Jews. They're great. Nothing wrong. But there's something so special about being Jewish. Go find out about it before you make this decision. Guilt is not going to work today. But to get someone to look into the buried treasure of their heritage before they close the door forever. What influence do we have that we can wield with other people? Maybe we can have a tough conversation and say, I would only have this conversation because I love you. Why don't you go study for a month? Why don't you go listen to this crazy rabbi on a podcast? Why don't you anything? Learn. Find out the treasure that you're giving up on before you give up on it. And we all have those people in our life, and we can all find ways to put out that fire of assimilation. So God willing, Hashem will send his compassion upon those who are suffering in Los Angeles. And he will send, and God willing, we will learn from and appreciate the message that he's sending us with this fire, that we too should use our fire of passion for holiness to elevate his world, to heat up his world with positivity, and to light up the Jewish people. God bless. Have an amazing day, an amazing week. And we'll see you again, God willing, right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.